Right, I'm live. I'm green. Right, welcome to the post-lunchtime slot. Okay, some of you know me because I was here last year. And basically I want to say what we've done for 12 months with S-Bums. And it came out as an idea is about change. So I'm going to explain about change. Some of it's about my tooling that's changed, but a lot of it is about observations. Bit about me, I'm from Manchester, that's where that bee is. I get asked about where's that picture. So that is a security hub for innovators, for startups in Manchester, trying to grow the ecosystem in the north. There's more than just London about tech, please. Yes. Normally most weekends I'm running around muddy fields at this time of year, so I've had a weekend off running muddy fields. My background is mission critical systems. For 40 years, I was delivering mission critical systems. Think about big, complex systems. So what Nicole was saying was my bread and butter. Those are what I used to worry about. Now I'm a startup, and I'm known as Mr. S-Bomb in Manchester. Didn't know what S-Bombs were 12 months ago. They do now. It's all about a tool called CVE Bin Tool. So this has been presented a number of times, and it's a binary scanner. It came from Intel. And they wanted to understand what binaries were included in their deliverables and were they vulnerable? Common question. It's open source. But one of the things we've done is it's become a Google Summer of Code project. And each year we've added more features. And I've been pushing the S-Bomb world in there. So we added S-Bombs, then we've added CVS, Scissor Kiv, we've added EPSS this year. We do a very trivial triage. Let's say we might improve that with Vex, the world of Vex. And it's got 1,000 stars this week, which is very good. OpenSSF best practices is interesting. I'm not going to work for Intel. It's a challenge sometimes in terms of do you have multiple maintainers? And it's a challenge in open source when it's run by a commercial organization. So generally, you'll see the read candidates tend to trigger on GSOC. We found a little problem this week, which is why we didn't release it this week. But anyway, it's very close to having a new version with all the EPSS stuff formally released. And then there's a tool that I write, and I haven't got 1,000 stars yet, which is a Python generator. And I take the installed Python and work out all the dependencies and work out all the builds. So think about Python. There's lots of direct dependencies. What are those transitive dependencies? I'm agnostic to which version of SBOM it is. I've always wanted to be Cyclone and SPDX. Initially, I have written my own parsers and generators. I do want to migrate to the stable versions. It's all about time. But what I'm pleased about is there's a benchmark. We'll see that, and it's the first one to get a benchmark score of 10 out of 10. Which is, but they'll tell you, explain why you get 10 out of 10. It's quite hard because the ecosystem needs to play together. And this is what I do. Generally, I just enrich it when I get the time. And I've got a bit busy this last 6 months trying to run a business. So that's why I've stopped a bit. But anyway, so generally the sort of things I've been doing is adding more stuff into the package information using SPDX. So trying to get as many of the package attributes in to the SBOM because you want enrichment. The more data you have, the more useful it can be for the more use cases. That's hard, because that data is not readily available. So what have we done? And this came out as a conversation, you know, a monthly open source meeting that we have, and said, oh, it'd be nice to work out how much change do we have, and is the SBOM going to tell us what those changes are? So we put a GitHub action that runs about 2 o'clock in the morning. We clean the virtual environment, clean virtual environment Ubuntu. And that's quite an important thing because that's going to come back later. We then install all the dependencies. And then we generate the SBOM in the different forms. So whichever version is the latest flavor, we'll generate, do it. And 3.12 will become, I think, may run to this week, tomorrow. But generally, we just run it for the supported versions of Python. So, a little bit of a digression about Python dependencies. And it's probably, if you went in Node or Java and things like that, you'll have, everything's got little quirks. Thing about Python is, it tells you what the direct dependencies are. It can tell you a bit about the environment. So if you're working in Windows, you may have different dependencies than if you're working in a Linux environment. But it says nothing about the transitive dependencies. How much is hidden? So let's look at the example. So this is quite. This is a subset of our requirements file. So at the top, you've got AIO HTTP. It's got a constraint in the version saying the minimum version we require is 3.74. But it's also got optional requirements as well. So straight away, you've got two ways of installing AIO HTTP, with or without that additional component. You look at Beautiful Soup, any version will do. And then you look at these down here, the import lib only installs it if Python version is less than 3.10, and it's got a constraint, and import, and similarly the import lib resources, again, only if it's 3.9, because the Python library changes, a bit like the earlier system, the